Welcome to the Sunday Poems. I'm Ken Hayda. Thank you for joining me today. This is episode number 200. Today I want to read some poems from my friend Daryl Bork, who lives in Louisiana, former poet laureate of Louisiana. I met Daryl several years ago at the Scissortail Festival in Ada, Oklahoma, East Central University, and we've become friends since that time, and he's a marvelous poet. He celebrates, commemorates, lovingly critiques, vivifies his family and culture of French Arcadian ancestry in Louisiana. And what I appreciate so much, the richness of that culture that he evokes and displays, but like all good regional writing, it transcends that specific region and speaks to the universal human concern. It's really excellent poetry. He's written a number of books. I'm reading from one that was published in 2010, titled In Ordinary Light, New and Selected Poems. It's published by the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press, the University Press at the University of Louisiana, Lafayette. Multiple poems to be chosen from, and a wonderful display of common language mixed with French, and also the elegance of his ekphrastic work. I'm going to pick out a handful of poems and read for you today from In Ordinary Light by Daryl Bork. I begin with Kitchen Light. My mother cannot see her kitchen clearly from where she lies under clean sheets. It is little more than a narrow hallway now, a little sink, a little place to drain dishes, and lots of shelving her eyes never see. From her bed she hears the microwave over the grease popping in the iron skillet as I pan fry pork chops I've brought her. She hears the water running or doors opening and closing, and she sees light streaming toward her from a shadowy space her eyes often travel to when I am here. Years ago, it was she who cooked for us. Years ago, she baked bread for the girls at the school in a neighboring town. Years ago, she feared coming into her house after dark, but she did so anyway. Years ago, she took a certain kind of joy in the chemistries of making bread, or at least in the rising and the kneading. She loved the way the bowls of dough seemed lightened from within, the way the enlivened dough took on the sheen of moons. Rising takes on new meanings for her these days, as does bread, and dark, and beds, and whatever it is she cannot see. My father at bat. My father is batting balls to me in the pasture. My hands are small and my glove keeps opening like a flat pan, my fingers barely reaching into the glove's fingers. The morning rain has gathered into little puddles he tells me I must not even be aware of if I am to ever get good at this thing he is teaching me. He says the glove must become a second skin. He pops a fly, and for an instant it is the blue cloudlessness that catches my eye. I am thinking I must be a holy mess to him. He just keeps batting ball after ball after ball. At school, all this ends with a bell eventually ringing. Here, there are no bells to save me. It's just me and him. He is strong. He is doing what he has to do. And the sun is still high in the sky. Lincoln in New Orleans, 1831. When he arrived that year, he had to walk a mile or so on flatboats to reach the shore. He had poled and floated here, watched hawks circling overhead on lazy afternoons, still bore the scar he had gotten years before when he had chased and fought off 7 fugitive slaves who tried to rob him and his measly crew near Baton Rouge. He pasted some home remedy on the gash and then stemmed the blood with some cloth he had on board. It lasted all his life, this scar over his right eye, but it hemmed in nothing. What really lasted was the chatter and talk around Maspero's Exchange, where one mulatto girl more was trotted and pinched, undressed, while buyers gawked and ciphered for the lowest price they could get for her. Hidden Hills, Final Lessons. We were sitting near the lake in fading light, a place particularly his. He had just put on his feeding tube, his walk deliberate, his voice still ragged and frail from the team of surgeons' recent work on him. I had expected to see some ravage, perhaps a face gaunt and pulled, but here he was spilling rubrics for making poems. Words loved crawl like snails, he said, then lift. Flight or something near, new skin, configured miracles. Words like organs pace themselves into surge and flow, beat like rude and lustly hearts to a new geographies. Unafraid of jail sentences or other tedious punishments put on them, they rattle bars and refuse to sit. They sing in their cells, teach prose a new tango move or two, even temper hells. The Transcendence Angel. And this poem begins with a quote from the Heart Sutra. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. How can I know how much of you is in me unless I tilt the bowl and let you go? How can I measure memory unless I spread it out on a page, see its volume with my own eyes, feel its weight in my own hands? The things I cannot say, I cannot bring before me. I cannot see the curve of anything unless I see the curve of things outside me. When I empty heaven from what I know of heaven, heaven has new fields to grow in. When I empty myself of myself, I lose what I have carried around with me all these years. I am new and nothing, a sacred text of emptiness. The final poem I want to read, there are just probably nearly 200 poems in this collection. It's a fabulous collection, and I highly recommend it to you. I want to end this with this poem titled Country Nights. Every night we gathered on the porch for nightly check. Like clerks at inventory time, we reported the losses, what was missing, what had been spent or stolen, we thought, and what was needed as we drifted into pauses. Again each evening we learned to wait as we were waiting, and would surely wait again for the black itself to form patterns beyond light, beyond sound, beyond loneliness. Then we moved into the house for the night, carrying inside us designs of the spaces between stars. So that's some outstanding poetry from Daryl Bourke, particularly this book, In Ordinary Light, New and Selected Poems. You might also enjoy his wonderful book, Megan's Guitar, and other poems from Acadia. It came out in 2013. Well, this is the 200th episode that I have recorded, 200 out of about 203, maybe 204 weeks. I've had nearly 14,000 listens to this program, and I am grateful and I appreciate each and every one of you who has listened from time to time, some of you every week. and I wish I could visit face to face with each one of you. I'm going to take a break from recording for a while. I'm not exactly sure when I'll return. We'll keep the post active. But for those listeners who enjoy it as part of your weekly ritual, and I am grateful and thankful that it's helpful to you, there are now 200 episodes to which you can return to revisit at your will. They should be available anywhere that Spotify or iPodcast or Anchor or on my website. Those are all available. So I'm going to take a break for a while. Thank you for the feedback I've received from so many of you. And go back and start at number one and work your way back through 200, or start at 200 and work your way back down to one, or just randomly choose them as you go along. Thank you for joining me. I'm Ken Hayda with the Sunday Poems.